Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Now I can preach it like this, okay? Repent! Or I can tell you, change your mind. Preaching repentance in the area of consciousness of sins is dishonoring the work of Jesus.
Repentance means you realize you're guilty, that you deserve the wrath and punishment of God. You begin to realize that sin is in you, and you turn your back on it in every shape and form. You renounce the world, whatever the cost, and you deny yourself and take up the cross and go after Christ.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Is there a bigger conundrum? This is Wretched Radio. Sure, there's all kinds of issues in your life that cause consternation and alliteration. But is there a bigger conundrum than the day you receive a phone call? A loved one has passed. You are asked to deliver the eulogy, to preach the sermon. What makes this a conundrum is that you don't know if your loved one was actually saved or not. And if you're thinking, well, this is just a preacher conundrum, it's not. Regularly, lay people are asked to get up and speak. Furthermore, when you're at a funeral of a loved one where you're not exactly sure which side of eternity they're on, you've got to talk about it. What do you say at the finger sandwich celebration afterwards? How do you talk about these things? We have a very special guest today. Oh, it's Jimmy. Jimmy's the very special guest. Welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you.
Were just at the funeral of your grandfather.
Yes.
And you were asked to preach.
I was.
Did you love your grandfather?
Very, very much.
So this was not easy on any level.
Not at all. My grandfather was my best friend growing up.
Oh, wow. Yeah. All right. So just keeping it together was kind of a battle all by itself.
Oh, yeah.
But what compounded the issue is, based on your interactions with your grandfather, would you say definitively he was a born-again Christian?
I can't say that.
So then let's just paint the picture. You're home. All the relatives are gathered. Hmm. Is it in a church, by the way?
No, it's in the funeral home.
It's in the funeral home. Mm-hmm. And everybody, of course, has eternity on their mind, which is exactly what death is supposed to do, cause us to number our days and to understand that life is just a vapor. You had to stand up and not exactly provide a lot of comfort. But yeah, at the same time, you're not sure, and so you didn't want to condemn somebody. How did you walk that fine line?
You know, it was difficult. It was something that I put a lot of thought into. Obviously, the option is to ignore the elephant in the room, but I can't do that. I couldn't do that. And so,
could I just say something, Jimmy?
Yes.
If more pastors would at least consider what you did, I wonder if that might not help the false conversion rate. Mm. How many people have gone to a funeral? The guy lived like a complete rebel, was marked by sin, but the preacher gets up and says, but you know, he had a good heart, and you know, God's kind, and God will do what is right. You know, cracking the door open when it's definitely not warranted. But that wasn't exactly your scenario. It wasn't quite like that, was it?
No, it wasn't.
Makes it trickier still. All right, so you didn't want to give false hope. You didn't want to condemn him. What did you say to the people in attendance?
The truth. I told them the truth. You know, I had a conversation with my grandfather about 2.5 months ago, and he asked a question of me, a spiritual question, that led into an hour and a half, 2 hour conversation between he and I, where I covered him with the gospel more than I have ever done in my entire life. And
with him or anybody.
Right. True.
All right.
True. But, and that's the hope that I cling to with him, is that the last 2.5 months that something happened, because I don't save anybody. None of us, we can't save anyone.
Right.
That's up to God. And, so that's the hope that I cling to, is that something happened in the last 2.5 months.
Yeah. And I think even there, we still have to be careful, because, again, you don't want to give the impression that, okay, it's all good. It should still be pretty sober-minded in our response.
For sure.
But I think that there are a lot of people who are just grieving, forget speaking at a funeral. They don't know. And I still think that that is something that you can cling to. You don't know. If you know that they heard the gospel, you don't know what was happening in their heart. So often, it's deathbed where an individual is in their own heart and mind, perhaps, getting saved. We don't know. And yet, in fairness, I believe it was Spurgeon, or at least one of the dead Puritans, who said it was their experience that when somebody gave some sort of a deathbed conversion, but then they recovered, it didn't appear to be a genuine conversion. Where does that leave us? We hope. We don't know, but we can state this: if they didn't repent and put their trust in Jesus Christ, we know their outcome, but we hope that that is not the case. Jimmy, I think that's about the best you can do, and I think that's right. Just right.
Right, right. Because honestly, you know as well as I do, a funeral is not about the person that we're honoring.
Shouldn't be.
Right. So what we were there to do was not preach him into heaven, but was to come face to face with the reality that we all need to repent and believe while we're here.
You know, that's another interesting take on what so often happens at funerals. Eulogy, by its definition, is to speak well of somebody. And so individual after individual will get up and say nice things, which is appropriate because you don't want to get up and, yeah, boy, he used to really beat the kids. You know, you don't want to be doing that type of stuff. But I wonder if, because so many eulogies are about they did this, they did that, they accomplished this, they achieved that, that it makes it sound like they are in right standing with God, that overall they were a good person, because so often these days, and I'm telling you, it is so often these days, most people in this country, it is my opinion, believe that heaven is gained by gaining it, that you earn it by doing stuff. Jimmy, did you get a chance to, was it Stone Cold Steve Austin?
Yes, it's in there, yes.
Oh, well, look at what we've got. We've got ourselves an example of what we've just tripped into here. Somebody sent me a link, Stone Cold Steve Austin, which is kind of weird because the other night I turned on the television, and when I wasn't watching people from the Olympics crying, what is with that? Everybody's crying at the Olympics. Aren't you supposed to be happy you won the medal? Instead, everybody's just breaking down and crying, and I'm wondering, why is everybody so weepy now at the Olympics? What happened to, yeah! No, now it's, they've got their hands in their face. Is there that much pressure for them to compete and win the Olympics? Is their life so totally wrapped up in the Olympics that they have a complete breakdown? Wasn't watching that. Instead, it was one of those A&E things, some biography channel. Maybe it was ESPN. I don't know. Stone Cold Steve Austin was on. He was a wrestler, and he was very popular. Now he has a podcast, and you are going to hear what most people believe, in my opinion, these days about how you get to heaven.
Well, you know, in regards to do I believe in God, I believe in the golden rule. I believe you should treat others the way you want to be treated, and that's the bottom line. That's what I believe.
Okay, that's a problem. Hold on there, Steve. That's a problem because we don't. Everybody thinks that that sounds so nice. Yes, I like that one. Or they like, I like love. We just need to, love is the answer. England, Dan, and John Ford Coley. We just got to love each other. And he was a loving person. Love is a law. Treat your neighbor as you treat yourself. That's a law. And laws condemn. They don't save. Stone Cold.
I believe in God. I believe in the golden rule. I believe you should treat others the way you want to be treated, and that's the bottom line.
If that's the bottom line, we're all in big trouble.
That's what I believe. It's that simple. And I believe that when I die, I'm going to be cremated. I've already got all this written out of done my living will, trust, all that stuff. And everybody should, so that your loved ones don't have to mess with none of your stuff and all the headaches, the hassles, and the stuff that goes along with someone passing away. I've got everything written out in instructions.
That doesn't deal with eternity, though, does it?
I'm going to be cremated and spread out on my ranch.
That's not going to keep you from appearing before the judgment seat.
At some point. And I don't believe that when I die, I'm going to end up in hell for an eternity for some of the bad things that I've done.
Boom. There it is. Because he's a good person.
Being punished without any water, out there hanging around with Satan, drinking tequila, and probably wouldn't let me have any tequila because he's Satan and he's supposed to be mean. And so I'm in this eternal pit of fire.
Well, little does he know, it's not Satan who runs hell. It is God himself.
With a bunch of other riffraff who were sinners just like me. On the other hand, I also don't believe I'll be kicking it up there at the pearly gates, hanging out with God and Jesus and everybody else out there, drinking champagne or mimosas.
Stone Cold doesn't know the gospel, nor do most people in this country, shockingly. Whether it's at a funeral or elsewhere you have family gathered, please make sure that they understand the gospel clearly. This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, we are grateful and thankful for those of you who reach out to us with your wretched stories, your questions, your comments, your conundrums, and even your snarks. You can contact us in a couple of different ways. You can send an email to idea@wretched.org, or you can leave a beep talk at 1-877-282-BEEP. Whichever way you decide to reach out to us, know that we are looking forward to hearing from you. Just like a recent email we received from Andrew, who says, I'm a 21-year-old guy who spends a lot of hours working in a recycling warehouse that doesn't have air conditioning. If not for the blessing of being able to listen to Wretched while I work 50 to 70 hours a week, it would be much harder to grow in my knowledge of Christ through the Bible. So send us your wretched stories, send us your questions, your comments, your conundrums, and even your snarks, again, at idea@wretched.org, or leave us a voicemail at Beep Talk at 1-877-282-BEEP. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Typical radio commercials will have one big shebang, the opening line. Do we have your attention now? This particular commercial has eight. Have we got your attention now? MediShare, affordable biblical health sharing, will save the average family $500 per month. Second, MediShare has double the customer satisfaction rate compared to typical health insurance. Double, that's times two if you weren't homeschooled. A massive network of providers to choose from. MediShare is the most trusted name in healthcare sharing. They've been around for 25 years. $4 billion in healthcare bills have been shared. If you call them now, you will save on the joining fee. They're going to erase it. That's another $170. This is a limited time offer, which means make it snappy. Call 1-844-34-BIBLE, 844-34-BIBLE. Did I mention 844-34-BIBLE to get your MediShare quote in under 2 minutes?
Finding money in your pocket that you didn't even know you had. Sleeping for the first time on a new set of sheets. When that cop that's driving behind you changes lanes and goes around. And becoming a gospel partner. Those are just some of the best feelings in the world. And you can experience one of them right now. Supporting Wretched means helping to spread the gospel, equipping the saints, and strengthening the local church. Every penny you give is carefully and gratefully stewarded away. As a matter of fact, 83% of every dollar you give goes directly to ministry. Wretched will honor your generous gifts with faithful stewardship and full accountability. So if you're not already a gospel partner, would you please prayerfully consider becoming one? Not only will you help to keep Wretched on the air, but it will feel better than walking out of work on a Friday afternoon. If you are a gospel partner already, then we are eternally grateful for you. Visit wretched.org/donate right now to find out how you can become a gospel partner. That's wretched.org/donate.
Books of the Bible. The gospel is present throughout all of Scripture, beginning with the book of Genesis. Immediately after the fall, God promises a Messiah who will crush the head of the serpent. Even in the Garden of Eden, God was preparing the means of our salvation through Jesus Christ.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And now the announcement nobody has been waiting for. This is Wretched Radio. Very exciting day. We have an announcement. There's going to be a new host here at Wretched Radio. Jimmy, would you like to guess who it is?
Me.
Would you like to guess again who it is? That's right. Bill Maher. Going to be the new...
No.
Yeah, no. But got to tell you something. You and I should be encouraged that Bill Maher is actually thinking quite clearly, at least on one particular issue. And I was listening to a current, a rather recent monologue of his, and I went, wow, he's talking like one of us. He's not. He's a classic liberal. I think that that's an important adjective to put in front of liberal, because a classic liberal is a whole lot different than a liberal liberal today. A liberal, for most folks, is like, hello, Bernie Sanders. Nice to see ya. Bill Maher is classic. And in that, he believes that there are at least some societal norms, some decorum, and at least a groping for some common sense. And I think that Bill Maher should actually brace yourself for this, encourage us today. Isn't it true that we observe that liberals are not desirous of good news? They seem to eschew it. Do you remember when Rand Paul was interviewing Tony Fauci? There was actually some good news in the pandemic, and Rand Paul kept saying, well, aren't you glad? Isn't this good news? Why don't you share some good news? If this is the case, why not get it out there and enjoy the good news for a second? Couldn't do it. And I kind of wonder if that isn't true for all of us. These days, we're bathed in bad news. Something good comes along and we can dismiss it. While this isn't going to change our culture, what Bill Maher said was heard by millions of people. His YouTube views get the millions of views. And so the monologue that you're about to hear from our new host, Bill Maher, there's a sentence I never thought I'd utter even in jest. He is going to talk about the current cancel culture, and perhaps even more important than that, he actually seems to at least have a modicum of a grasp on history. In that, different eras have different attitudes, and just because somebody today exhibited an attitude from back then that today isn't considered cool, what do? We cancel them.
And finally, new rule, please don't make the Olympics into the Oscars. Oh, what's that? They did already? You know, back in April when the Oscars aired, I commented in this space that the theme of that evening was, we dare you to be entertained, lest your mind waver for a few hours from thinking about the sad things and bad people in the world. Well, thank God we found some of those bad people in the Olympics now, and not a moment too soon. The director of... No, that was sarcasm. The director of the opening ceremony was fired hours before the event because they found out there was a Holocaust joke in a comedy routine he did decades ago. Well, you know, context is everything.
What?
Obviously, it didn't strike people as beyond the pale at the time.
Wow! Wow! Understanding that at different eras, when the majority of folks would have just gone, ho-hum, it's just a joke, or it's not racist, it's just a joke, we look back today and go, oh, no, because our current sensibilities inform us that anything that looks like this is actually that. And that didn't always used to be the case. Bill Maher actually gets that?
Young people have to stop flattering themselves that they're Nostradamus and would have foreseen, had they been around then, everything that's unacceptable now.
That's a great line. And here's what's interesting. If this current trend of as we evolve as a culture continues, then in, what, 20 years? They're going to be able to go back to your yearbook and find something that cancels you.
And for further context, Mel Brooks wrote one of the most successful musicals of all time around the song Springtime for Hitler. Why do we allow the people who just want to always win? Days before that firing, the opening ceremony's musical director was also forced out because someone dug up an interview with him from 1994 where he admitted to bullying classmates as a child.
What? Bullying now? It's always been bad. When has bullying been good? Our salutatorian is the kid who used to give everybody a black eye. Would you please welcome? Everybody's bullying is bad. Well, today it's kind of become a cause celeb. And now, of course, if anybody ever did anything remotely mean to anybody, you got to cancel them.
Child. As a child. Remember when your teacher used to try and scare you by saying, this is going to go on your permanent record? Yeah. No longer an empty threat now. And the creative director of the entire shebang of the whole
Olympics
got canned because he once made a fat joke in a private conversation. This is called a purge. It's a mentality that belongs in Stalin's Russia.
Hello! And it's coming from the left wing of American society. Whew. Okay, so here's the good news. Not every liberal is Stalinesque. They're not desiring to become Russia. At least right now, Bill Maher is speaking with some common sense on the subject. That should be a little bit encouraging, shouldn't it?
How bad does this atmosphere we are living in have to get before the people who say cancel culture is overblown admit that is in fact an insanity that is swallowing up the world?
Wow! Wow! So in other words, people who say, oh, it's all overblown about the cancel culture. No, it's insanity. He just ratcheted that up a notch. And indeed it is. A society can't function. And his somewhat rhetorical question about when is this going to end? That raises a question for the Christian, doesn't it?
It's not a conservative position, my friends. My politics have not changed, but I am reacting to politics that have. And this is yet another example of how the woke invert the very thing that used to make liberals liberals. Snitches and that's not being liberal. The Associated Press is a real news organization, yeah? So why am I reading this headline? Olympic surfing exposes whitewashed native Hawaiian roots. Yeah, the Olympics added surfing this year. Good. Surfers deserve to be recognized as athletes. I'm sorry. What I meant to say is, no, that's cultural appropriation. The AP says that for Hawaiians, probably all two of them, including surfing in the Olympics, is an extension of the racial indignity seared into the history of the game and their homeland when white outsiders took over their spiritual art form.
Now, if you want a better example of Romans 1, I don't think you're going to. That's just what? False proposition built on another false proposition to ultimately come up with a conclusion that is, in Bill Maher's words, insane.
Or just people having fun in the ocean. I must say, of all the violations of the woke penal code, cultural appropriation just might be the dumbest of all. First of all, there are 25,000 islands in the Pacific. How do we know a Hawaiian was the first to stand on a board in the water?
And on he goes, regaling against cultural appropriation, because it doesn't help us to become better. It means that we no longer get to enjoy something different, interesting, and good from another culture. We won't share it, and you can't borrow it. It's ours. Stay away. Bill Maher is getting that. But let us, besides enjoying a moment when a liberal is speaking clear-headedly, let's answer his rhetorical question. When does this come to an end? I know how my flesh answers that question. That's it. I'm not going to put up with this, and I'm going to start doing stuff. Now, please note, if you wish to get involved politically, legislatively, that's swell. But I fear that in this frustrating season that we're living in, we might be tempted to forget how we are to respond, no matter how bonkers the culture gets. And it's getting pretty dingy out there. We are not commanded to become revolutionaries, to overthrow, to tear down institutions, or even statues for that, even bad statues. We're not called to pull down. We are called to preach the gospel. Because what you just heard is so foolish, Romans 1 word, that even Bill Maher understands this is insanity and he's not a regenerated man with the mind of Christ. That is dingy. And if you and I aren't careful, we're going to get annoyed, we're going to be agitated, and we are going to want to fight. Christians aren't called to fight. Yes, you can defend yourself and your family. But we are not Christian soldiers marching off to a physical war, not revolutionaries. We put on the gospel of peace, and we share good news so that God can regenerate their hearts so that their minds can start to think more like Bill Maher's. I'm sorry, that was not the right ending to that. This is Wretched Radio.
Well, this is Wretched Radio, and I'm Jimmy Hicks, and we start today with a big shocker. This is breaking news. Disney supports LGBT ideology. Oh, wait a minute. That says Disney, doesn't it? Yeah, this isn't exactly breaking news. Actually, this looks like to be the latest occurrence of their devolve into all things cultural. This latest escapade involves Disney Junior, the network that they program and target to children aged 2 to 7. Disney Junior aired a new Muppet Babies episode with Gonzo, a male character on the show, wearing a dress to a ball. The female characters in the program tell him that he cannot wear a dress, but he does so anyway and says eventually, quote, "I don't want you to be upset with me, but I don't want to do things just because that's how they've always been done. I want to be me." Yeah, this is where the brainwashing of our kids begin. Please, parents, be aware of the filth that Disney and other networks who have gone woke just like them are trying to propagate into your kids. Now, the leader of a church in China has been formally arrested on charges of unlawfully possessing items that advocate for terrorism and extremism. Reports say this charge is a first of its kind in the country. The pastor's home was raided in May and police confiscated computers and books. The pastor and his wife say they have been the victims of repeated abuse by authorities after they pulled their kids from government-sponsored schools. The pastor's attorney has said that he has been denied repeated attempts to arrange a meeting with his clients. Please pray not only for this pastor, but all of our brothers and sisters abroad who are facing serious, serious persecution. Well, in a recent interview with Teen Vogue, which should tell you everything you need to know, Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren said she believes that abortion on demand is the key to women's freedom and democracy as a whole. She believes the federal government must act to protect the, quote, right, as she calls it, to murder unborn babies for basically any reason without restriction. So it's the basic right, in her opinion, of any American to murder unborn babies for absolutely any reason at all. Even sport. If you just want to do it for sport and the fun of it, then go get pregnant and murder your baby because it is your basic right. That is according to Elizabeth Warren. Well, do you remember the story of New Zealand weightlifter Gavin Hubbard we first told you about a while back? Well, Gavin, who decided that he wanted to be a woman and compete against real women in Olympic weightlifting, was eliminated from competition earlier today. He failed in 3 attempts to lift 275 pounds, which is a warm-up for most men competing in the Olympics. But Gavin, well, he isn't most men. He's a man who wants to be rewarded for being stronger than women, something he was born to be. Stronger than women. Yet he failed, and now he goes back to New Zealand, and the real biological females can get back to competing against each other the way it should be. Well, Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Important dates in Christian history. 64 AD. After fire ravages Rome, Emperor Nero blames Christians and unleashes the first state-sanctioned persecution of Christians. Roman persecution would continue for 250 years until Emperor Constantine officially recognized and defended Christianity.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And just in case you didn't think the world was devolving, this is Wretched Radio. TikTok has a brand new trend. That's right. That's my sound effect for TikTok right there. Is it a good sound effect? Of course it's not, but it does raise a question. Why is it that somebody would post this sound with the picture of a clock and the little second hand actually moving around for 12 hours? 12 hours. This is recorded and uploaded to YouTube. Wait a second. This particular video has 927,000 views. How much free time do people have these days? Huh? How much time do they have to just sit and watch it? Now, this one, by the way, this has 1 million views. That's a different TikTok sound right there. What do you, why do, what can you help me under? I mean, look, I understand a funny dog video. Watching a clock tick. TikTok has a hot new trend. And as a Christian, you're going to hear about this trend, perhaps couched in contemporary terms. But it's as old as demon possession. In fact, that's precisely the title. TikTok's hottest trend is as old as demonic possession. This is an article from The Federalist. Now, maybe I'm confused about The Federalist, but I didn't think they would be writing something with rather profound Christian insights. And this is another demonstration of a culture that can be annoying. Let's be honest, we can get really agitated with people who think so foolishly, who behave so incredibly, who are so unkind, who are so canceling, who are so mean, who are so detached from reality. It can cause us to get really torqued. Might I suggest that as you hear about this new TikTok trend, we instead, at least with this situation, you got to feel some pity. You've got to feel for these people. The trend is to post on YouTube, which gets more views than a ticking clock. Millions of views of people who switch personalities and put it on YouTube. They videotape themselves switching personalities. It used to be called multiple personality disorder. Well, we've had to contemporize that because no old name is good. It's now called dissociative identity disorder. Dissociative identity disorder. DID expresses multiple personalities, sometimes with great variation. The different personalities have different names, interests, ways of talking, and gender identities. DID used to be known as MPD, multiple personality disorder. Now, this is one that should cause us to go, oh, the brokenness, the effect of the fall, and maybe demon possession, and maybe child abuse. That seems to be the pattern that people who believe that they sometimes have hundreds of different personalities inside of them, it's because they were tortured as a child. That's wickedness of the highest order, and that should cause us to hear what is happening as an apparent trend in our culture, that people who were abused as children, now, in order to escape, what they would do is they'd escape. So my body is being hurt, but that's not me. I'm somebody else. And they develop then multiple personalities throughout their life that they believe are as genuine as anything else. And now here's where it also reveals itself to be something that is going to be forwarded with the same methodology that has been used to forward every other anti-biblical ideology these days. What is the oomph behind this? And a group of people with something called DID that want it to be normalized. They don't want help. They want you to accept it, not see them as a threat, not put them on the DSM-5, but instead to say that's their truth. Where have we heard this before? We're living in a culture where every individual is defining their own truth, believing their own truth. And that is showing itself even with people with DID. Hey, this is me. So you have to accept it. Are we close to arriving at the definition of insanity? Of course we are. That you can determine this is what I am and therefore it's normal? It's anti-science, to say the least, even as we live in a culture that's supposed to be so pro-science. Back to the article. Several TikTok and YouTube accounts, the accounts of such broken people who refer to themselves as a host or system of multiple beings, have millions of online followers, and they exhibit various personalities for online notoriety in the guise of educating and promoting awareness. In a Vice article about this disorder published 6 years ago, one afflicted person refers to the body as the meat car. The nine members of her system simply take turns driving it around. People, refer to themselves using plural pronouns or as a mix of single and plural pronouns. Sound familiar? Any Bible stories come into mind with an individual who is possessed by a legion of personalities? The Vice article asks in its headline, are multiple personalities always a disorder? Members, this is the subtitle now, members of the multiplicity community. Well, that sounds nice. They're a lot of people in that community, I'll say. The multiplicity community insists that they're healthy, happy, and even normal. They just have up to hundreds of personalities contained within one body. Proponents of normalizing this disorder, what trick do we see? The rejection of normality as a concept. The individual's perception of reality as determining actual reality. The insistence that what was once considered a mental illness shouldn't be at all. In fact, it's even delightful to live with other beings inhabiting the same body, so they say. The very arguments that have been used for every undermining of cultural norms, dare I say biblical norms, it's being used, and frankly, it has to be accepted in our current culture because you can't say they're wrong. That would be to indicate, well, there's limitations to believing what you are. Yeah, you can't. They can't do that. Therefore, they're going to have to accept this as just another expression of humanity, just another way to represent yourself. And it's being used as the cult of self. It's interesting where this began. And a lot of people would say, obviously, postmodernism, but no philosophy that's wonky. And frankly, they're all wonky. No philosophy, no secular ideologies for understanding how the world operates or why we operate the way that we do or the existence of God. They're all tremendously unbiblical and stretched, but they're never alone. If you read any sort of philosophical history, this guy learned from that guy. He responded to that. He argued against the Hegelian dialectic, and they build off of each other. And so we might have a tendency to think, you know, I think that this is probably secular philosophy gone to harvest. Maybe, but it was done with the permission of liberal theologians in the late 1700s and 1800s when we decided, for instance, Friedrich Schleiermacher, there's no propositional truth. That's what this theologian who wrote something of a systematic theology that even on occasion appears somewhat orthodox, said that there's no propositional truth, which is problematic because if there's no propositional truth regarding God, regarding communication from a divine, it's a little tough to believe that there's any propositional truth, including his statements. Nevertheless, what was religion to him? What was God? Well, it was the total reliance on a divine. That's what religion is. It's feelings-based. It's not truth-based. It's not propositionally-based. It's feelings-based. And so religion is used to create that feeling so that you can have total dependence. And you say, well, what about the Bible? And Schleiermacher would say, yeah, it's a nice book because it actually contains the feelings of the disciples so that we can learn how to have right feelings about Jesus and God. Nothing to do with reality, with history, with truth. Instead, it was all based on feeling. Dissociative identity disorder, anybody? This is not new. This is the fruit of a root that goes back centuries. And that rotten root, especially from Germany, would be liberal theology. Thanks, Friedrich. This is Wretched Radio. Don't tell me you couldn't use a little encouraging news. This is from Paul Marty. He is the executive director of the Tomorrow Club's Kids Clubs, meeting all throughout Eastern Europe to bring impoverished nations and families the gospel.
You know, most Tomorrow Clubs work in former communist communities where we find so many kids and families living hopeless lives. But with the help of the Wretched audience, we've been able to bring the gospel, hope, and long-term discipleship to thousands of kids in these forsaken communities.
Praise God for that. Would you please consider joining our effort to reach these kids and their families to strengthen local churches in Eastern Europe? $30 a month, 30 disciples. It is an outstandingly efficient gospel-centered ministry. Please prayerfully consider supporting your own Tomorrow Club, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
What is a worldview? Simply put, it's how people view the world. Not physically, though, but rather a comprehensive viewpoint on everything that exists and matters. And these days, most evangelicals have adopted a dualistic worldview, which means that they place Christianity in the realm of faith, while logic, reason, science, and even morality are fixed in the realm of reality. And the results have been pretty evident. Christians who are operating without a proper Christian worldview. In our newest resource, Wretched Worldview seeks to change all that. Todd Friel and Dr. Owen Strand gather to tackle 22 tough contemporary issues through a biblical lens that puts our Christian worldview into clear focus. Not to tell you what to think, but how to think these issues through. Wretched Worldview also comes with a study guide, which is perfect for any Bible study or Sunday school class. Order your copy today at wretched.org/worldview. That's wretched.org/worldview.
Numbers. Who doesn't love numbers? Okay, I don't, and maybe you don't either, but you are going to be thrilled at these statistics from preborn.org. Since 2007, there have been over 500,000 pregnancy tests. Whoa. 42,000 women have professed faith in Jesus Christ, and over 123,000 babies' lives were saved. You can have a direct impact on the battle for life in a country that is increasingly opposed to life. While the government is busy trying to take the lives of more children, you and I can be saving babies and saving mommies, because Preborn, they provide free ultrasounds, and they also preach the gospel. Babies get saved, and so do mommies. Would you please help grow these numbers by supporting Preborn? You can do that at preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called a curse for us. When Adam sinned, all creation came under a curse, and everyone who breaks God's law is cursed. But Jesus bore our curse on the cross so that we may receive the blessings of God.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Sound familiar? It sure does. This is Wretched Radio. Having deja vu because a very helpful and handy tool is now being employed to hurt people. That's right. The current mechanism to bend culture into believing that all truth is valid truth is now being utilized by people who clearly need profound help. There's a trend, apparently, on the TikTok machine, millions of views for people who have what we would call multiple personality disorder, or it could be demon possession. When they have multiple demonic beings inside of them. And interestingly, if that's the case, if this is true, that this dissociative identity disorder, as they're currently calling it, is at least sometimes demon possession, does that perhaps indicate a bit of a shift in how the demonic realm is working? When do we typically see demon possessions? I mean, the full-blown sort of stuff where it's like, whoa, that's demon possession. You usually see it in third world countries. You see it in places where there's been no gospel, where it tends to be less culturally sophisticated, less of a civilization. The devil would work very overtly. But in the West, where there is such a heavy dose of skepticism, it's been observed, not just by me, but I've heard many others say, he does it more subtly here, because it would just, that type of stuff, that's Linda Blair. That's just dumb. That's a movie. That doesn't really happen, because we've so rejected the supernatural in Western civilization. Is it possible that now the devil, for whatever strategic reason, is starting to operate more out in the open in Western civilization? I don't know the answer to that question, but it certainly seems to be a possibility. Remember, the devil is a wily fellow, and he will try different strategies, different times, different places in order to get his end, which is to basically cancel the book of Revelation. It's what he'd like to do. That ultimately he wins. And even if he can't, in the meantime, he wants to hurt Christ ones as much as he can, because he can't hurt Christ himself. And so we see the devil trying all kinds of tricks, introducing ideologies. And a lot of them don't stick. You just never read about them. You don't see them. But the ones that we do see, there's something behind it. Who is the mastermind behind all of these things? I don't know if it's George Soros, but it's definitely the devil. And he loves to kill, destroy, lie, wreck. Anything good is appalling to him. Anything terrible, he delights in it. The bigger the car accident, the happier he is. That's our enemy. A defeated one, on a leash one, but that's our enemy. And I wonder if this growth in dissociative identity disorder isn't an indication that he's shifting strategies. Not sure how we find out the answer to that question. This is from a Vice article on this subject. The multiplicity community insists on being seen as healthy. Get ready for deja vu, even normal. This is our reality, they argue. Why are you imposing your reality onto us? Huh? I don't see. Sometimes you can do that, you know, like with a vaccination or a mask, but you can't always do that, because they use it as a tool. Keep your laws off my body. You can't impose your reality on us. DID, dissociative identity disorder, and multiple personality disorder are terms roundly rejected by the community, and most of them don't feel they belong in the DSM at all. Contrary to what a DID diagnosis implies, multiples want everyone in their system to be seen as people, not fragments, alters, or personalities, but distinct individuals who happen to be inhabiting the same physical body. Maybe, you know what? Actually, Jimmy, this could actually be a really good thing for the Democrats, because then one person could vote a lot. Oh, never mind. That's already happened. Sorry. Forget that. Anytime that a multiple group lives in fear of the consequences of coming out of the closet, they claim that they're being denied their social rights. a person afflicted with multiple personalities, told Vice magazine, quote, "There should not be one model of reality imposed upon everyone. Society can and should change to accept." Huh. Is this feeling like deja vu? It does to me, most certainly. Yikes. They're being denied their social rights. There should be one model of reality. Should be. There should not be one model of reality imposed upon everyone. Do we have to obey those things called stop signs? Is that reality or are they imposing their laws?
Only if you want them to be.
Okay, that sounds safe. Society can and should change to accept those who are different, rather than enforcing a single standard of normality and punishing those who don't fit. Wow. That's deja vu all over again one more time. The mechanism, me, self, and this ideology has been afoot for a long time. I typically, bad worldviews, even political movement, they tend to have a J curve. A lot of things have a J curve. You know, they're kind of putzing along, maybe getting a little bit better, just a little bit better. And then, boom, they just take off. I think that's the era we're living in. All these floating around ideologies, I don't think the devil could have predicted, because he doesn't know the future, but they've just kind of come together in a really coordinated booyah, which isn't coordinated, so I realize the metaphor is limping. It's working right now. And you and I are feeling that, aren't we? And now put yourself in this context, because you're in this context. You come along and say, no, there's one truth. You don't get to define it. God does. And it's revealed in a 2,000-year-old book. Can you see why it is that Christians these days aren't thought of very kindly? But I would like to suggest to you, this is actually an opportunity. Haven't we seen this trend where people dig ancient stuff? Go back to the ancient rites. Go back to the ancient people to live the way that they did, which was always wonderfully. They like that. Well, we've got that. So that's a positive. And I think that people also recognize there's got to be somebody to tell us what to do here. Because I would think even the people with DID really don't want the idea extended much further. Although I suppose it could be extended further. Because if my reality is that, look, I just got a homicidal maniac dwelling inside of me. And it's a real person, just happens to be in the same body. One day talk show host, next day axe murderer. Don't impose your views on me. There's not one normal way to view things. The extension of this is absolute anarchy. Redditors, you know, there you go. Redditors posts, include people who claim to have DID, insisting one personality is a serial killer or pedophile, and anything that personality does is not the other personality's fault. Be afraid. Be very afraid. Do you think that if you were put on an island, maybe for not as long as Tom Hanks, okay, so really it wasn't all that long. The movie just felt that way. You're on an island and you had to write something that society is going to say. Would you have ever come up with, well, we're going to believe that an individual can have hundreds of personalities inside of them. One can be a pedophile. The other one can be a homicidal maniac. And nobody's to blame because that's just who they are. And you can't impose one reality or one normality on everyone. You wouldn't have come up with that. You would have said, nah, I'm telling you. Write down the kookiest thing that you can concoct, and tomorrow's newspaper is going to reveal that you are Nostradamus, that you were able to predict the future. Why? Because this is the devolution of Romans 1. And it's a reminder, people, we don't evolve. We devolve. We aren't getting brighter. We're getting more detached from reality. And this is the world that God has chosen to put you into. That's not an accident. So now ask yourself the question, how does God want me to live in this upside down world? What does he want me doing? I think the bigger question would be, what does he want me doing that will have an eternal impact? Because kooky is raining. And I don't see it getting reined in anytime soon. What does God want us doing in a world that believes that there isn't one standard for reality? Ay, 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 ay. Oh, yeah. Same answer as always. Preach the gospel. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.